The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Now, Day for Life is celebrated annually by the church here and in the UK, and it is a day dedicated to raising awareness of the meaning and value of human life. It is happening on October 3rd, so this Sunday, and the Bishop of Elphin, Kevin Doran, has used the day as a reason to set out his opposition to assisted dying legislation. The Bishop joins me now on the line. You're very welcome to the show. Can you maybe set out that opposition for us, first and foremost, Kevin?
Yeah, I suppose it's important to say that the Day for Life is not primarily about opposition. It's really an invitation to prayer, which was initiated by Pope John Paul back over 25 years ago. So each year we invite people to reflect on a particular theme. And this year the theme is the Good Samaritan, a model of compassion. And it's prompted largely by two things, I suppose. One was a document that came out of the Vatican earlier on in the year called Bonus Samaritanus, or Samaritanus Bonus. It's precisely about the pastoral care of people in terminal illness. Mm. And then it's also inevitably prompted by the fact that in Ireland and indeed in Britain, there have been in recent times proposals for the legalisation of assisted suicide. But I suppose really the Day for Life it begins, I suppose, with encouraging Christians to accompany the sick so that they're not left to carry their burden in isolation. And the image presented to us in the Gospel is the image of the Good Samaritan who doesn't pass by on the other side, but who crosses over and binds up the wounds and who, most important of all, stays with the person for as long as is required. And I suppose, you know, the reality of terminal illness is such that people certainly want things to be different. They certainly don't want to have to put up with severe pain or depression. Yes. Or the loss of physical or mental capacity. But in over 40 years as a priest, I've never actually met anyone who wanted to die. I think what, as I say, they want is for things to be different. And the challenge for society is to find ways to relieve pain and emotional distress and to accompany people who are seriously ill so that they don't feel abandoned or alone.
You use the phrase there, carrying the burden.
Yeah.
There'll be people listening and they'll say there are times, though, in terminal illness where that burden becomes too much, where that pain becomes too much. And that's why they want this option.
But I think that's the challenge precisely for society. You see, I think those who propose assisted suicide tend to suggest, or at least to imply, that the only alternative is to put up with terrible pain and isolation. But when people are unwell, obviously, their sense of normality can be undermined by the routine of illness, and that in itself is part of the problem. You know, appointments and treatments and charts and medication tend to dominate. And the whole focus of hospice care really is on helping to normalise people's experience, you know, doing normal things with people who are terminally ill, like watching a movie, going for coffee, listening to one's favourite music. And, you know, as part of that whole process of palliative care, obviously, the focus is on relieving pain, both physical pain and often emotional pain, which is nearly more unbearable for people at times. And that can happen in the hospices, in hospitals, or indeed the family home, because the hospice is not really a place, it's a way of caring for people.
Is it your contention that when people say the pain is unbearable, that they're wrong? It is bearable.
I'm not saying that they're wrong, because I think you know, one can't challenge someone's, you know, someone's personal experience. If someone feels that their burden or their pain is unbearable, you know, what I'm saying is that that's a challenge for us to find ways of making it bearable. And as I say, that's not just through medication, but also through one's presence with them, through listening you know, often, you know, even in the years when I worked as a university student, a university chaplain, you know, students used to sometimes come into the office and they'd sit and chat and they'd pour out whatever, you know, angst they had. And they'd go away then and say, thanks very much, that was great help. And I mightn't have actually been able to offer them any solution. But what happened was I listened to them. And I think that's what hospice care does as well, you know. And my own experience as a priest over the last 40-odd years, I suppose, would be that, you know, I've worked with terminally ill parishioners, both young and old. And even, say, in recent times, in January 2021, in the heat of the pandemic, I had the privilege of looking after the hospice here in Sligo while the regular chaplain was on sick leave. And so, you know, my experience of being with and working with people, young and old, in hospice care has led me to believe that that we can make circumstances of terminal illness bearable for people, provided we don't abandon them.
What is your fear about the introduction of legislation? I mean, there's nothing to stop you doing that work with that legislation enacted, that we could still endeavour to make, you know, to make suffering bearable.
Sure, and I think in many ways the only answer that that Christians have, and the only answer, I suppose, that people who believe passionately in care have, is to continue to care for the sick, no matter what the legislation does. So I agree with you in that respect. But there are two very real concerns. One feature of the legalization of assisted suicide in other countries is that once it becomes lawful, it's then presented and perceived as something good to do. And instead of being surrounded by love and care, then what happens is people who are already vulnerable and dependent on others find themselves under pressure to some extent, maybe emotional pressure that they feel themselves, to think that assisted suicide would be the decent thing to do. And that, well, you know, again, if you...
That'd be a fairly monumental cultural shift in Ireland, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, we're well known for our monumental cultural shifts in recent years. And I'm talking about the experience of places like the Netherlands and Belgium, you know, who are, you know, 10 years or so down the road, you know, in this. And that it has moved on from even, you know, applying to people who are terminally ill, you know, to people suffering from intellectual disabilities, and you know, people who generally speaking would be perceived as not having a good quality of life, and the concern obviously is that the suggestion that people are making this decision freely, you know, is not always they may not be being kind of forced to take the decision, but they can certainly be placed in a position where it's very difficult for them not to.
Yeah, I just going to have to ask you to clarify that. I mean, in Belgium and the Netherlands, they're not routinely euthanizing people because they have an intellectual disability.
Well, there are certainly high levels of assisted suicide among people with intellectual disability and people suffering from people, for instance, on the autism spectrum, adults, young adults, who you know, sometimes have they have, you know, good days and they have bad days, on a bad day they may just feel that this is the only option open to them, and that's, I think, regrettable. But the other thing, of course, is that I suppose in many cases, you know, I think in Ireland, in our own experience, we all know, sadly, that if someone actually decides to end their life, there's very little we can do to prevent that, you know, and I'm talking about the ordinary circumstance, which is which is such a problem for many communities of suicide, especially among young men. But the particular difficulty with assisted suicide, I suppose, is that it presumes that there will be some other person with the required skills who will be brought in to assist. And that then raises the whole question of the impact of assisted suicide on you know, the healthcare professions, on doctors and nurses and so on. You know,
we're going to have to leave it there. Bishop of Elphin, Kevin Doran. Bishop, thanks a million for speaking to us here on The Hard Shoulder. Stay with us. We're going to be speaking to Charlie McConnellogue, Minister for Agriculture, in just a couple of minutes.